What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
Hey guys, this is Mark Trojanowski from Sister Hazel, and you're listening to Playlist Wars. Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Brian Colburn. Unfortunately, Gomez won't be on tonight's show, but thankfully, we have two guests tonight who are ready and willing to put on the gloves and enter the Playlist Wars ring with me tonight. First, please welcome musician Kenny Dubman. Kenny, thank you for joining us, man.
Hey, great to be here, man.
Appreciate having you. And we'd also like to welcome friend of the show, Mark Janolis. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk music with us tonight.
How's it going?
Tonight, our topic is Blackberry Smoke's studio album, The Whippoorwill, which was released on April 14th, 2012, meaning just recently, this album became a decade old. So, Kenny, we're going to start with you. Why are you excited to talk about your favorite tracks from The Whippoorwill tonight?
Well, this is a pretty interesting story, if I can burn a minute and bore you with it. The Whippoorwill was a watershed album for me because in 2013, I found myself climbing out of a real deep, dark hole, the worst time of my life. Okay. I had shed a lot of baggage and I was just like, you know, getting myself together. And I would go on YouTube and pick out records to listen to while I worked at my home computer. And one day, I saw The Whippoorwill on like a little suggestion bar. I never heard of the band, never heard of the record. I clicked on it and listened to the whole thing through. And I was like, wow, it's pretty good. Next day I came back. I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to that Whippoorwill album again. So I listened to the whole thing. A year later, I'm still listening to it every single day. And it just blew my mind that I'd never heard of this band. And this album was something I just fell completely madly in love with. Now, I had been out of writing and creating music for 23 years at that point, hadn't written a song, hadn't cared to, no albums, nothing. Within a few months of, you know, that time with that record, I started getting song ideas again. And they kept coming and I started writing, started putting them down. And those songs written in that period became my first solo record, my first recording in over 20 years, Reckless Abandon, which came out in 2016. So that album is directly responsible for dragging me back in. That's the reason we're sitting here today, is because of The Whippoorwill.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and to come to this point in my new record, Conflicted, I have Charlie Starr as a guest lead guitar player on Conflicted. So the whole thing came full circle. Like, I'm friendly with him now. You know, we talk and it just, you know, I asked him to do a solo on this record and he did. So Whippoorwill is a big deal for me, man. So when Tom let me know that record was going to be the subject of Playlist Wars tonight, I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I was like, does this dude that's doing Playlist Wars know this story? He goes, no, absolutely not. It's completely random.
Wow. Talk about a perfect timing on this one. This is great. Yeah. Well, Mark, I'm going to throw the same question to you. Why are you excited to talk some Blackberry Smoke tonight?
Well, I kind of discovered him kind of by accident too. I actually heard him on like the Opie and Anthony show and they happened to be the guest that day. And I was driving and I was like, holy shit, who the hell is this band? They were just awesome. And like, they seemed like cool dudes. And the same thing. I just went back in and dove in their catalog and couldn't believe I'd never heard of them before and how good everything they were putting out was. And this is the album that I think I probably listened to the most, you know, is definitely The Whippoorwill. Or if people are like, where should I start? This is like, well, start here and go back. But like every song on here is a winner. You know, there's not a clunker. The sequencing is perfect. Actually, that's not true. When I get to my number one, the sequencing is perfect.
Oh, there's going to be some criticisms involved.
Reasoning, yeah.
Well, for me, I discovered Blackberry Smoke in 2015 when Holding All the Roses came out. And I heard Holding All the Roses. And I'm like, this song is incredible. And I ended up getting the album. And I'm like, this is unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah.
And when I fall in love with a band and I fall in love with an album, I have to go down the rabbit hole. And I immediately went back to the Whippoorwill. And as much as I love Holding All the Roses, when I heard the Whippoorwill, I'm like, oh my God, it gets better. And we've talked about Blackberry Smoke on Playlist Wars so many times. And I always tell people, if you want to go down the Blackberry Smoke rabbit hole, you have to do it with the Whippoorwill. It's the perfect introduction to this band because every album has a different flavor to it. But to me, the Whippoorwill is this crowning achievement of all the things I like about Blackberry Smoke rolled into one.
Yeah, agreed.
It is.
There's definitely some albums they have that are a little more country leaning, a little bit more rock leaning. This one's kind of like all over the place. Every genre swirled in, like, as you said.
Yeah. And the thing about that is even though they've taken all these genres and melded them together, you would think that that would almost be like this musical ADD where from track to track, you're kind of going, where are they going here? But on this album, the sequencing of the songs, it flows so perfectly one into the next. It tells a story with all the peaks and valleys that they hit in this album.
Agreed. As I said, except for one song is sequenced wrong.
We're going to find out soon about this one. Well, before we get down to business, if you like what you're hearing on Playlist Wars and you want to support the show, please consider becoming a Patreon member. All you have to do is head over to patreon.com/Playlist Wars and select whatever tier works best for you. Like we've already discussed, tonight our topic is Blackberry Smoke's The Whippoorwill. And we've each individually created a mini playlist with our top four favorite songs from the album, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior till now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track one through track four, one by one, crafting what we each feel is the perfect Whippoorwill mini playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the amazing playlisters, to vote at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com to decide once and for all which one of the three of us got it right. And while you're at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can listen to each one of our playlists, just in case you want to hear where we're coming from with our sequencing of our playlist. So, Kenny, why don't we kick things off with your track one?
Okay, my track one is Ain't Much Left of Me. I think it's a perfect rock and roll song. It's got a nasty groove, great guitar sound, and the lyrics. It's the story of a nasty divorce. And it's one of those tunes that just... I mean, when they play it live, it just crushes. Like, people just go crazy. And you can tell it's one of the band favorites because, you know, a lot of times it's either the last song or the encore. And I just think it's a perfectly constructed rock and roll song. It just blows me away. I love it. So Ain't Much Left of Me is my number one.
Mark, did Ain't Much Left of Me make your playlist?
It did not.
Wow.
What?
I love the song. Don't get me wrong. I do. And I totally understand exactly where Charlie's coming from. I understand. Every time I see him live, that seems to be the closer. It's a great song, but it just did not make my playlist. It's just, there's four other songs I feel that are better. Don't get me wrong. It was my number five. I was going back and forth. My 12-year-old talked me out of it. He had a good, valid reason. So
I can't wait to hear that. But with that, Mark, I will be handing you the proverbial Playlist Wars trifecta killing axe. Because Ain't Much Left of Me is my track three. And it was written by Blackberry Smoke with David Lee Murphy, who, for country fans out there, might remember his 90s smash hit, Dust on the Bottle. And he wrote this song with the band. And Kenny, I think you said it best. This song has a groove to it like no other. And this song drives. I mean, this song's got the only word I could think of is swagger.
It's like a big, powerful snake slowly slithering towards you, man.
I agree. The song rocks. It's a great song. As I said, every song on the album, I have no complaints about.
Yeah, and trust me, Mark, you are going to feel guilt tonight when a song doesn't make your list and when someone else is the feelings of pain are in this show. We don't disclose that when we ask you to come on because people would get too nervous because their feelings are going to pour out about this album.
Like, I get it. Like, I understand, man.
Well, with that being said, what do you have for your track one, Mark?
All right. My track one, as I said, my favorite Blackberry Smoke of all time. my favorite track of theirs. I personally think that if I wrote this song, I would use it for every one of my concert openers. Shaking Hands at the Holy Ghost. It just builds and like live, just that build. And then that snap when that snare hits and it's that first chord. It's just, oh, it's awesome. Just, I love that song. And it's got every element that hits my tickles. You know, it's just, it's great. It's just, I love that tune. And every time I see it live, it's great. And when the Black Betty's sitting with them and they're singing back up, it's like, it's glorious. And as I said, I would open every single show that they played with that song because it just gets the energy right there, builds and builds and just snaps you right there.
Man, I'm already feeling the guilt now because that didn't make my list, but that was one that was coming in and out of my top four with ease. This song is fantastic. I love that you mentioned the Black Betty's. When you hear them live and you got that extra layer of background vocals, it just oozes soul. And this song, again, here's a second. You had this Southern rock swagger of Ain't Much Left of Me, and you've got this damn near gospel soul that's coming out in Shaking Hands with the Holy Ghost. We've only talked about two songs and we're talking about two different vibes already. Sadly, it didn't make my list though.
And adding Brandon into the band, because I think this is the first album they made with him on piano, totally changed the vibe of the band. That song, like if it didn't have the piano in it, it wouldn't be the same. That piano underneath. And there's another song that's on my list for the same reason. Totally makes the song, seals the deal like butter. You know, it's just, it's wonderful.
Well, Kenny, how did Shaking Hands with the Holy Ghost wind up with you?
Though I do love that song, it is not on my list. Great tune, though. I love every song on the record, but I can only pick four.
Well, my track one, believe it or not, is completely different than the songs you guys picked, which we've done a lot of playlists and albums before, and usually track one is where people sync up the most. So I kind of love the fact that we're coming from all different directions here. My track one was written by Charlie Starr along with Travis Meadows, who also wrote for the band Medicate My Mind and Seems So Far from 2018's Find a Light, along with Better Boat by Kenny Chesney, While You Still Can by Brothers Osborne, God and Guns by Hank Williams Jr., and my favorite Eric Church song of all time, Knives of New Orleans. I'm going with Pretty Little Lie.
Oh, great song.
Unbelievable song. Reached number 46 on the Billboard US Country Airplay charts, and believe it or not, is the only charting single from this album. A live staple for the band since it was released. To me, the reason I put this song first, it's that chorus, the soaring harmonies. You feel the pain in this song. It just spews out of the chorus. And those luscious harmonies in this song just grab your attention and they never let go. So I personally couldn't think of a better song to kick off my list with Pretty Little Lie. Kenny, did that land on your list?
It is not on my list.
Wow.
Again, I love every song on that album, but I can only pick four. And the four that I picked them for very definite reasons, not just because I like them.
Mark?
No, it didn't make my list, but I love that song too. And I wish that Paul would actually sing on his own. Like, his harmonies are so awesome. He needs to sing a song. I'm shocked he's never sang a song in Blackberry Smoke, just considering that he's got such a beautiful voice.
His harmonies are lush. I mean, they just blend so perfectly together because they have a slightly different sound to their voice. But when you put them together, it's like everything that's good in the world. It's a perfect combination vocally. All right. Well, we are moving on to track two. Kenny, what do you got for us?
My track two, this might surprise both you guys, because I think this is almost like an overlooked track on this album. The last track, Up the Road.
Wow.
And the reason that I picked Up the Road is because nobody writes melancholy better than Charlie Starr, I think. Like, nobody can send a message like, maybe things ain't so great, and just do it so well. And just like, some of the tunes where he does that, they're just heartbreakers. And this is one of them for me. The song starts off as a relationship like going sour. And then the message throughout the rest of the song is, well, you know, it ain't so great. And that's the way it is sometimes. I mean, up the road, it doesn't always get better. And just songs like that with those kind of messages just give me the chills, man, because they're so real life that I just love them. And of course, like the chord changes and the vocal melodies in that song are just absolutely tremendous. And Charlie really goes off and rips plays fast at the end of that song, which is something you rarely hear him do. Usually he'll stay chill with his guitar solos, you know, and play for the song. But that song, he just lets it rip, man. So it's an amazing album ender. And the album is not ending on a happy note with that song. And it's just, that's just the way life goes sometimes, you know, doesn't always end up great. So I had to take that one for my number two. I almost made that my number one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mark, Up the Road.
Did not make my list, but I agree. It is a wonderful song to end the album on, because it really is like, this is what life really is. Exactly. But no, it didn't make my list. But I agree with you. Every song on that album's good. So not saying it's a crappy song. It's just not on my list.
Well, Kenny, you and I are now two for two. We're not even all the way through track two. And three of my songs are now off the board because I closed with Up the Road. To me, it's the perfect album closer. And I thought it was the perfect playlist closer as well. Lyrically, the song just hits me. And some of my favorite lyrics in the song are the chorus. The grass ain't always greener, just like we're always told.
Yeah.
You may not have the winning hand, but you ain't got to fold. To me, it's a humbling song to end an album with. It puts life into perspective. Because everyone always thinks everything's got to end on the perfect note or everything needs to have a happy ending. And this album perfectly doesn't. And musically, the song just soars with the guitar solo that you talked about, Kenny. I get goosebumps when I hear him play that. Like, I just feel it. And to end this album on such a powerful note is simply breathtaking to me.
Powerful and melancholy at the same time.
Yeah. And if you snag the band's homecoming Blu-ray or CD set, there's a stellar version of this song on that album. And to me, it brings it to the next level seeing them do it live, because they're able to take that magic from the studio and not only give it to you with the same melancholy, what's the other word to balance that out? Because at the end, it's soaring. This guitar feels optimistic. So it's like teetering with the vocals. And kind of creating this balance that doesn't seem like it should work, but it does, because the guitar sounds so positive and so fulfilling and so affirming up against this backdrop of lyrics that are so sobering. So to me, it's just a fantastic way to close. And it's my track four.
Right on, man.
Mark, we are back to you for track two.
All right. My track two, another good reason to have the piano player in the band. Everybody knows She's Mine. The chorus is so awesome. My hair stands up when they play that live. It's like, you know, nothing else that they do either. It's kind of like all over the place musically. I don't even know how to, it's kind of country gospel rock, you know, kind of a little of everything.
That tune is so fantastic. It really is. To me, that song is like the tip of the cap to Little Feat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's actually a good descriptor of that song.
That's a Lowell George groove.
It's nice and slunky. I'm just so shocked that that song wasn't a hit. You know, it's just, it's so catchy.
Yeah. I'm shocked too. And sadly, this is more guilt for me because this one, I only have one song left and this one isn't it, but damn, this one is so good. And Kenny, I think you nailed it with the Little Feat. I actually hadn't thought about that until you just said it now. I always describe that song to people as a honky tonk blues. Whereas if you took kind of like the Rolling Stones honky tonk women, you took a little bit of blues and a little bit of country and you kind of put them into a blender.
But that chorus is so gospel-y, you know, it's just like uplifting, always makes me feel good.
I think every song on this album makes me feel good, but that's just when an album becomes one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 years, this album has become one of my desert island discs.
It's definitely one of mine.
Yep. As I said, this is the one I recommend to everybody.
All right. Well, moving on to my track two, and believe it or not, halfway through the show at the 50-yard line, I'm tapping out here because this is actually going to close my playlist. And I'm going with a song that was written again by Travis Meadows, Jerry Spillman, and Charlie Starr. I'm going with One Horse Town. I love the storytelling in this song. And this is, to me, Charlie Starr's storytelling at its best. This song gives me a vibe of a modern Neil Young's Harvest. It's just, he's telling a story and it feels like it really happened. When you hear about the fact that he's an old married man at the age of 23,
yeah,
got two little boys on the baseball team, and that might be their only ticket out.
Yeah, because that line paints a picture of small town hopelessness. Like there's nothing else. Like if you don't get like a baseball contract, you're staying there and working in a factory.
Yeah.
And also Charlie's leads underneath, all those little guitar runs after like every other line where it's just those little accents.
Every time I hear that song and I perform that song live, I love jamming to that song. I sometimes have a hard time getting that second verse out because it just hits and it really, you really feel the realness in that song. So that's why that's my track too. Mark, did it make your playlist?
It did not make my playlist.
Kenny?
It did make my playlist. It's number four.
Oh, you closed with it. Okay, so you and I flip-flopped One Horse Town and Up the Road there.
Yeah. For me, the number four spot wasn't, you know, like a finale spot. It was just one notch down from number three.
And the reason why it's not number three, I love this song. I think it's a absolutely perfectly written song. And it's an amazing story. But this song, I've played it so many times, like on acoustic gigs, that I'm a little bit worn out on it now. I've played it and heard it so many times. That's why it's number four. But I had to have it in my four. But that's why it's in the fourth slot.
Well, being a fellow Jersey musician, we got to jam that one together sometime, man.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Awesome. All right. Well, Kenny, now, believe it or not, we're at the halfway point here, but now you're closing out your playlist with track three, and Mark's still got two open spots left. So we're all over the map with this album, which is fantastic because we didn't all pick the same four songs.
Yeah, cool.
So what do you got for track three?
Yeah, I have the title track, The Whippoorwill. The thing about The Whippoorwill, melodically, it's so gorgeous. And the storytelling, that song is about his grandmother. And it's so, to me, it's so emotional and so moving because you could tell that how much he loved her, you know, and he's talking about her that he can still feel her, you know what I mean? And he carries the lessons that he taught her through. I'm getting chills just talking about it. Mm-hmm. He carries the lessons that he taught her through life, you know what I mean? And that's heavy. Like to be able to write a song like that and yet do it in a way where it's not obvious to the casual listener what that song is about. And I think I heard him talk about it in an interview, and that's the only reason I know that's about his grandma. And after I found that out, I could listen to it in a whole different light, and everything makes sense. Standing there by the piano, he can still hear her voice. And it's just like, wow, that's some heavy, heavy stuff. And the vocal melody is brilliant. The guitar solo is unbelievable. It's such an unbelievable melody. It's a magic piece of songwriting for me. Magic. I can see why that was picked as the title track, because it's got some deep, deep, heavy meaning for Charlie, that song.
I put it out on Twitter. Should the title track be one of, if not the strongest statement on an album? And it was like 95% of the people that chimed in said yes. And man, I feel awful that it's not in my top four, but it is one of the strongest songs on the album. And depending on my mood from today to tomorrow, this song could easily bump one of my top four because this album to me is so interchangeable on what I'm jiving with when I listen to it. These are the four songs that today sit with me. Tomorrow, it might be something else that resonates and makes me change my mind. When I listen back to this, I might go, why did I put that in there and not The Whippoorwill? So I totally get it. I absolutely love the song. Mark, did it make your list?
It did not. It is a beautiful song. It is. And like, same thing when they play it live, hair stands up. It's a great tune. I like their more, I don't want to say the more rocking stuff, but that's the stuff that draws me in, is like their more punchy in the gut stuff. That's what I like about them, is they're a great live rock band. Not diminishing their slow stuff, but my four are all like up tempo, I guess.
I totally get that.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here. Well, this is great because we're going to have three different takes on this album, which makes for the best voting when we're all over the map. Kenny and I are actually closed now, so you get to go back to back, Mark. Awesome. What do you have for your track three?
So my number three, the song rocks. It's got a banjo in it. It has a ripping guitar solo. When they play it live, it's awesome. It's Leave a Scar. Great song.
Fantastic.
And it's exactly how I feel about life. And I can't imagine that song without the banjo in that part, because it totally fits. It's great.
To me, it's the heaviest song on the album, if you want to use quote marks around it. Like, this song just jams. This is heavy. And again, it's a different vibe from you put that up against the Pretty Little Lie and you're seeing, wow, there's, you know, country, you've got storytelling, you've got emotive writing like Up the Road in the Whippoorwill. And then you have Leave a Scar, which is just balls to the wall, pedal to the metal, Southern rock fury. And I love the song.
It's got a ripping dual guitar solo, which is nuts. And the chorus is catchy as hell. And it's loud and it rocks and it's great. The fact that they could rock that hard and still, like, you know, play something as gentle as the other songs also says a lot about them too, you know. And they, every song has feeling. That's all that matters. And it's genuine. You know, it's not forced.
Yeah, and to go from that high to the lows that they go, it's very easy to put two songs like that on an album. The hard part is to tell a cohesive story between the songs on the album to make it not feel like this is just a collection of songs. To me, The Whippoorwill does not feel like that. It feels like an actual album listen. But it's very cool to see the directions we're going with this one.
Yeah.
So, Mark, you've got one left, and it's obviously different. It's a song we also haven't talked about tonight. So what do you got?
So my 12-year-old talked me into this one. He said it's how he looks at life and all that stuff. And it's his favorite Blackberry Smoke song, hands down. It's a great song. It's got great lyrics. Charlie does his drawl on the song where he sounds like, I don't know how to describe it, but he gets a little rednecky sounding. Song Lucky Seven. Ooh. It's great. It's just a great tune. I love the chorus. Again, I like the I'm a sucker for a catchy song. I really am. Doesn't matter. And every song that I mentioned is kind of has a catchy chorus to it. It's like, that's my wheelhouse, I guess. I don't know. I like a catchy chorus. It's a great tune.
It is a great tune. Love that tune.
Same here, man. I mean, obviously, considering what we've said about the album, there was not going to be any songs that were picked where we're like, man, you picked the clunker on this album. There really aren't any.
Fact.
That's true.
And that's the beauty of this album.
And then the vinyl pressing I have has an extra side of music on it, too.
It's the same as the stuff they put out on the European CD re-release.
Yeah, it has Countryside of Life and a couple other tunes on it that aren't on the other album. Since we're talking about this album, though, I do have to mention, for the longest time, in Six Ways a Sunday, I totally misheard the lyrics for the longest time. I heard his brother, I've been backside a little too long. For the longest time, I thought that's what he was saying. And it totally makes sense. But backsliding also makes sense, too. But.
All right. Well, now's the time in the show where we are going to each go through our playlist in its entirety so people can hear our idea of the perfect Whippoorwill mini playlist. Kenny, let's start with you.
All right. So my track one was Ain't Much Left of Me, because I think it's a perfect rock and roll song. Track two was Up the Road, just because of its amazing melancholy lyrics and beautiful, not that hopeful message that song has. The Whippoorwill, number three, because it's just musically stunning. And the story that's told in that song about Charlie's grandmother, just amazing and so well told. And One Horse Town, because One Horse Town is a perfect piece of songwriting. And as I said before, the only reason it might not be higher is because I've played it like 10 million times over the past few years. I'm a little fried on it right now. But it's such a great song. It had to be on the list.
All right, Mark.
All right, my four. Shaking Hands with the Holy Ghost. As I said, it's the perfect opener, period. It just sets the tone. I'm so shocked they didn't sequence it that way. Everybody Knows She's Mine is my number two. The piano, the soaring chorus, it's awesome. And the Little Feet, now I'm not going to get that out of my head with what it sounds like, because it totally does sound like a Little Feet song. My number three is Leave a Scar. I mean, how can you not want that song? It rocks and it's got a banjo in it. I mean, come on, I don't have to say anything else. And then my fourth song is Lucky Seven. It's just it's a great tune. And it's a pretty good message in the song too. So there's that.
All right. And my playlist kicked off with Pretty Little Lie, which to me was the perfect soaring chorus to get people singing right from the jump. One Horse Town is track two. I know Kenny closed with it. I haven't played it 10 million times yet. I'd say I'm at about 5 million and I'm not sick of it yet. We'll see what I get to the next 5 million. Hopefully one of those we'll do together sometime. Track three, Ain't Much Left of Me, with that second side. You flip the album over to really kind of get things going again. And then the closer, which again, melancholy vocals, this positive soaring music at the end, and they just balanced this friggin' seesaw perfectly. And I closed with Up the Road. Three very different playlists, not a single song that we all agreed on tonight, which for an album has actually never happened. So I'm really excited to see where the playlisters go with this one. So now, playlisters, we turn it over to you. Head over to playlistwarspodcast.com. Visit the Blackberry Smoke, the Whippoorwill playlist and album page, and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. Now, Kenny, we were talking about your album at the top, and I want to bring it up again. You just released a brand new album called Conflicted. Why don't you tell people a bit about the album, obviously more about how Charlie's playing on it, and then most importantly, where people can find a copy.
Okay, so Conflicted, it's actually, I think at this point, we're going to split the record into two EPs and do a 6-song release. It's still going to be called Conflicted, and then another 6 songs 6 months down the road. I'm currently in negotiations. I'm really excited about this. This is the first time I'm talking about it with a management company that I'm going to be signing with. So I'm taking the leap. So I'm going with their advice on the way to release things. And that's, I think they're right. People just don't digest a whole album anymore, unless they're like old schoolers like us. You know, I love a whole record. But so we're going to go with two EPs. The first one's going to be Conflicted. It's going to have the same cover artwork that we have now. And the lead track does feature Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke. The lead track is Old Dog. Yeah, I got a couple other big names on the record too. I got Scotty Hill from Skid Row does a solo, and Zach Wilde does a solo too. Now, those guys are old buddies of mine from Jersey from 30 years ago. For me to ask them, I just called them up and said, you know, you're playing on my record. And it was like, okay, send me the track. But with Charlie, you know, I didn't really know him that well. And I just said, you know what, man, I'm just going to do it. So I inboxed him on Instagram and I said, hey, man, putting a new record out. I said, would you sing a verse on one of my tunes? And he came back to me and he goes, this is exactly what he said. He goes, man, you're a much better singer than I am. You don't need me singing on your record, but I'll do a guitar solo. So yeah, we trade off. He does the first one, I do two, he does three, and I do four. There's trade off. So when you hear it, that's what's going on that track. The best way to find out anything about me or buy music or download music for free or whatever, just kennydubman.com. Very simple.
And we'll also post a link to the album as well as your website in our show's notes and over on the Blackberry Smoke page at playlistwarspodcast.com, so people can click through and give the album a listen.
Fantastic.
Kenny, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you so much for having me. And Mark, nice meeting you, man.
Same here, man.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us and hope to do it again, man.
Awesome.
All right. And playlisters, of course, I thank you guys all for listening. Remember to vote for your favorite playlist in this episode, as well as going back and checking out all of our past episodes anytime, playlistwarspodcast.com. If you'd like to support the show a little extra, head over to patreon.com/playlistwars and select whatever tier works best for you. And stay tuned until next week, because a new battle is going to take place right here on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.